Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Me away. G, 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 take me today.
Welcome to episode 32. We talk to Miss Sarah Lewitton, also known as Ultra Girl. We hear about her friendship with Courtney Love, her escapades with ayahuasca, and dating. That's pretty much sex, drugs, and rock and roll. So what more could you want, all right? Little fun fact. Our theme song has a David Bowie sample. It also has a nod to the It's Gary Shandling Show. Now, when I recorded this about 8 months ago, both of those people were alive. Now they're dead. The only one living in that theme song is me. Should I record a new song? Sample some other people? See if they die? Email thegaryhour@gmail.com with names. All right, this was a fun episode with me, Matt Kaplan, and Sarah Lewitton. Yeah!
We're in a Jewish bubble in New York where it doesn't seem...
Yeah,
a Jewish bubble.
It doesn't seem that bad here in this day and age.
What is this Jewish bubble?
There's a lot of Jews
What's
here.
What's inside the bubble? A menorah?
Lighting it on fire. I was actually raised modern Orthodox, and I'm Sephardic, and so it's like an interesting kind of we're considered like the Hispanics of, well, we are actually the Hispanics of the Jews. Mm-hmm. So we're very colorful and curvy, and I still keep kosher. I go home every Friday for Shabbat.
And you do,
like, yeah.
Oh, so you're into it?
Yeah, I'm totally into it.
Are you religious?
I mean, I don't know what religious means necessarily.
Do you pray to God? Do you believe in a God?
I do believe in God.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you pray to the God?
I pray to the universe.
To the universe.
Yes. Which is God.
Okay.
In my mind. So we were talking earlier about ayahuasca. And so I started doing ayahuasca in December. It took me 3 times before it actually worked. And so the first time, which I'll refer to as the first time.
Mm-hmm. Why? Because that was the first time it actually did
anything. Exactly.
Okay.
When you do ayahuasca, like you're led through this like maze by these things called machine elves. They're called, someone coined the phrase machine elves. And so like you're led through this like tunnel by these elves that are like teaching you something.
This is where you did it, place you did it. Okay.
Yeah. This is all in my mind, by the way.
There weren't really
there. No. I mean, there were people there, but they weren't doing shit. Yes. So
was this all a hallucination?
Yeah, complete hallucination. So you're led through like this thing by the machine elves, and like they teach you about things. And then they finally brought me in front of ayahuasca, the ayahuasca spirit. Mm-hmm. And I said to the ayahuasca spirit, are you God? And she laughed at me and she goes, no, I'm everything. I'm everything that you can imagine. I am. What you think, what people are taught is God is the disciplinarian. And so that is, and so like she goes, God is the father.
What do you mean? What do you think this hallucination meant by the disciplinarian?
I think that like humanity needs like a teacher, and like humanity needs someone to like give them rules.
Yes.
And so that's what I think that God is like, God is like the opportunity for the universe to give rules to people, because otherwise we don't have them.
What do you think would happen if we didn't have any rules?
I mean,
and you mean personal rules, legal rules?
I think just like rules of conduct in society,
like the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, Ten Commandments, mm-hmm. and also just an ability to believe in like something bigger, mm-hmm. and the ability to have like a learning and teachings and stuff like that. So you know, I think that the Old Testament and the Bible and whatever has like some really good lessons in there.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to, you know, the same way you might learn about the Civil War, you might learn about Martin Luther King. It kind of exists in a way that you learn those things so you don't repeat them. Or so if you do have to repeat them, you know what went wrong in the first place.
You just said Old Testament, which has some crazy stuff in there.
Yeah, I mean, people got creative.
Well, that's the Jewish Bible is the Old Testament.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
I mean, the Old Testament has some real bad stuff in there that, I mean, of course, if you're going to cherry pick the good stuff, you can do that.
Like I did with Purim, mm-hmm. my favorite holiday.
So do you believe the book? Do you believe the Old Testament literally? Is that
no,
how it
I
works?
Mean, I think the same way that people read Harry Potter is the same way people should look at the Old Testament and the Torah and the Bible and all that stuff. It is what it is. You know, it's like, I don't know, maybe you believe to some degree that something like in your mind that Harry Potter exists. I don't know. I've never read Harry Potter, but like, you know, like you learn something from it.
But that would be blasphemous to a lot of people. Because to most people, the Old Testament and the New Testament is the word of God. It's
I thought you
book.
Said it'd be blasphemous to some people that haven't read Harry Potter.
No, but I was thinking the same thing, because for some people, it is the same thing. If you talk negatively about Harry Potter, forget about it. You're out of their life.
Yeah, it's crazy. I've seen the movies. I don't really understand what's going on in them.
I'm usually
stoned while I watch them. So.
Yeah, I'm not a big fantasy person, which is why I don't really get into the Bible either.
Yeah, I like... if you don't like fantasy, then that is what it is. But I mean, I like sci-fi. Like one of my favorite shows is Battlestar Galactica. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, I guess that's kind of like a fantasy sci-fi thing too.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing I think about a lot of Jewish people is they like the culture of being Jewish,
mm-hmm.
and the customs and the traditions and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the actual religion and God, it's not like a big part of it.
Yeah, you know, funny thing, my mom one time was like, do you believe in God? And I was like, yeah. She was just like really shocked by that. But there's so many coincidences that happen in my life that shouldn't. I am like the definition of the drunkard's walk, which is like someone walking down the street accidentally stumbles into something and it becomes something that changes their life forever. Like,
for example?
Let me think. Oh, there's so many examples.
Something, a big defining moment in your life that has, you know,
that you drunkenly walked into.
Oh my God. So when I was, 18, I was an intern for this website called ABC.com. And it was like, you know, for ABC television. Mm-hmm. And I was not registered in college yet. It was the end of my senior year of high school. And I wanted to have an internship and didn't know what to do because ABC.com couldn't take me for couldn't continue my internship since I wasn't enrolled in school and I had to have like a college credit, whatever. So I go on AOL, and this is like back in the day when you could type in like certain keywords in the AOL member directory and mm-hmm. like something comes up and like people's profiles come up.
Right.
So I typed in music journalist, New York City, because I was like, I don't know, kind of want to be a music journalist, I think.
Yeah.
And found this person named Mark Spitz and mm-hmm. Messaged him saying, hi, my name's Sarah. I want to be your intern. And it just so happened that he was in the right mood at that very moment where he replied and said, let's talk, you know, and that was it. And that moment changed my life.
Why would you call that a drunken walk, though? Because that seems like you were looking for a particular thing. You emailed a particular person, and then that
it literally took 3 minutes.
That's so, the beauty of email.
Well, this was like 1998 also. Right. So this was like way back in the day. And
he was like, what is this?
Yeah,
electronic message. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I guess that's not necessarily the drunkard's walk. But I mean, also, I've been drunk too many times to know where I've drunkenly walked into. Oh, I know. I have one. So I went to... when I was about 21 years old, I was friends with this guy named Chris Kelly, and he took me to a holiday party. And I, you know, at the time, I really enjoyed getting drinks and drinking. Mm-hmm. And I balanced a wine glass on my head and turned around and like met this guy that eventually, and he like was startled by me having a wine glass balanced on my head. That we started chatting, and he became my business partner for a record label and all this stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's always a good conversation starter.
So that was literally a drunkard's walk.
That is literal, yeah. Yes. Well, I think the Judy is, just to get back to that, Jews seem to have a lot of atheists for a religion.
Yeah, because you can be Jewish without believing in God.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's something to identify with. It's some sort of bigger thing to hook your line onto,
mm-hmm.
which I think people need.
Yeah.
You know, people don't want to be this lone floating bubble. They want to hook onto something larger than them to feel like they belong and connect with something. And I think Jews might be a little unique in the situation where they do it more as a culture mm-hmm. than a religion.
Yeah. Yeah. You could be culturally Jewish, but religiously not.
Right. I think it's the best of both worlds. Whereas like if you're a Christian, if you're raised Christian, you almost have to like denounce your religion.
Yeah.
Unless people assume that you're religious still.
Yeah. It almost seems like for a lot of religions, like you have to follow their word of God or you're kicked out.
Right.
Yeah. No, you just in Judaism, you just have to listen to your parents, really.
Yeah, and they say the prayers, and they don't know what the hell they're saying. And they don't even believe it if they knew what they were saying.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, in any case, that's so... I guess, I met this guy recently. His name is Christian, and his mom...
Is he a Jew?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, actually, yes. So his name is Christian, and his mom and dad converted ages ago, before he was born, and they became super crazy, Christians or whatever, decided to name their son Christian, and they moved to Jerusalem to, I guess, be Christians, like super Christians.
They sound so confused.
I know. And they're like super Christians in Jerusalem.
Why would they move to Israel of all places?
Because that's like the birthplace of Jesus.
Right.
Yeah. So in any case, he's a full Jew.
Full Jew named Christian.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, so when I was talking to him, he's like, oh, I'm 100% Jewish. But this is like, despite the fact that he's been raised Christian his whole life and his name is Christian.
Well, that's cool that you identify with the religion and the culture of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you say that that's like a part of you?
People told me that the defining facts about me that they know is that I'm Jewish and from Tenafly, New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
These are the things that...
Yeah, and Egyptian. Yeah.
Yeah, I read that on your Wikipedia page is pretty informative.
And I feel like it's really poorly written, but I can't change it. I'm not a good enough source, apparently. I've tried.
The Wikipedia Nazis.
Really? Yeah.
You know, they're very stringent, these Wikipedia people.
I hate the grammar. The grammar's on it's terrible. Like, it goes, like, there's no fluidness to it. There's no flow.
Who are these Wikipedians
that are
more qualified than you who have lived this life?
I know. And I'm like, there's things there that are kind of true, but like, it's not that they're not true, but they're like a little bit factually incorrect that I'd like to fix.
We're going to clear that up today.
Yeah, that'd be great. That would be good.
So the three things you identify, two or three things?
I guess three, that I'm Egyptian, I'm Jewish, and I'm from Tenafly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You grew up in Tenafly, New Jersey.
That's correct, yeah.
What is what are the defining characteristics of Tenapla? I like that name.
Well,
sounds like a Sugar Ray song or something.
Oh my. Tenafly is like about 10 minutes from Washington Heights. Mm-hmm. So it was really easy for me to come into the city every day after school, which I would do.
Yeah.
When I was in high school, I was interning in the city, so I'd hop on a bus.
Yeah, you got your start really early.
Yeah,
like
really
you got involved in stuff as a teenager.
I did terribly in school. That's
because
why.
you're already writing.
Yeah.
And you're writing for a subsidiary of AOL?
Yeah. Well, it was abc.com's, or like before there was .coms. Everyone had like an AOL portal on AOL. So ABC had an AOL portal and they mm-hmm. had a spot for like teens and children. And mm-hmm. so I was writing for them.
How did you start writing as a teenager for them?
Mm-hmm. Well, I was really into computers. I was really into the internet. And so I'd always go to the computer labs at school. Mm-hmm. And one of my teachers was like, oh, I have a friend that works at AOL or works at ABC's AOL portal. And I was like, I want her email address so I can become her intern. And so she gave me that. And that's how it happened.
So you're kind of a go-getter from the very beginning.
Yeah. Well, also because I did really poorly in school. Like I failed so many classes and my parents just said, you have to figure out your life. And the only way you're going to do it is if you get some internships. So you better get some internships. And so I did. Yeah.
I've always been a solid C student in school. But I don't think it was because I was dumb. I think it was just because I was bored.
Yeah, yeah.
And you don't seem like a dumb person at all.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you. I mean, I think some would beg to differ, but
you've got some time to prove me wrong.
Yeah, when I'm hungover or haven't slept enough, everything goes right over my head.
That's most people. I think if that's not the case, then you're a true alcoholic. If you can completely function.
I suppose you're right.
Yeah.
And yeah.
That's scary.
Yeah.
But why do you think you didn't do great in school?
Oh, I wasn't, no one wanted to give me Adderall. You know, had I had any, and also I was like, I couldn't learn the same way as other people. And
it was hard to pay attention.
Yeah. I mean, it was hard. Someone actually randomly messaged me on Facebook yesterday or the day before and was like, I remember you from geometry class. And I don't know if you remember me, but I remember you used to be funny and you were the teacher's favorite student, even though you were so bad in class.
Mm. Good sign.
Oh, that's really nice to remember. Yeah,
I definitely think everyone learns differently.
Yeah.
But it's just categories. Either you're a good student, you're a bad student. You know, if you have a certain intelligence level that's too high or too low, let's say, they'll split you up. But then there's that huge middle part of students, which most are, that are just lumped together.
Yeah.
And we all learn completely differently.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, had we been able to have if we had computers when I was in high school, the way that we do now, I mean, I would have been killing it, but...
How so? Why would you have been doing different?
Just the way that I read and like the things, like when I'll read something and like find interest in a certain thing, I will just study the hell out of things. A couple years ago, so like in 2009, okay, this is weird. Okay. So 2009, I contributed a playlist for Nylon Magazine did a music book. And so I contributed a playlist for them and it had some, you know, pretty great songs. And randomly one day I logged onto my MySpace page and I got this long ass letter from Courtney Love.
Like, wow.
And I am thinking to myself, I've waited like 15 years for this moment to happen. I couldn't believe it. I just like stood up from my desk and I was like, oh my God, guys, Courtney Love emailed me.
How did she find you? Well, she found you through MySpace, but why is she contacting you?
So she contacted me because she saw the playlist that I wrote for Nylon Magazine, for Nylon's book, and really liked the songs that I had chosen.
Was there any of her music in there?
There was a whole song, yeah. Okay. I'm trying to, I think it was Olympia. Oh, no, No, I can't remember which song I had.
It would have been funny if there wasn't and she was emailing you to berate you for not having one.
Yeah. No, there was definitely like a whole song. There was a Nirvana song. There was an Echo and the Bunnymen song. And she liked the list of, she had a story for every song that I had selected, essentially.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So she wrote me this long ass letter and she asked me to come hang out with her. Uh-huh. And I was just like, I didn't know what to do. I was like shaking.
Was the letter broken up into paragraphs?
No, it was like long one.
Was it just one run on sentence?
Yeah, essentially.
Right.
Yeah. But it was like I could not believe it. I honestly, like I was shaking.
Was it well written?
It was very intelligent.
It was intelligent. Yeah.
It was well written. In if you could, I actually had to send it to a girlfriend of mine, Stephanie, who was able to
decipher some of the jumble.
She put the punctuation where it needed to be, because I was like, I don't know what I get that there's meat here, but I don't know where it is.
Right. It's like all these ideas just regurgitated out without any sort of editing and semblance.
Exactly. Yeah. So she took the letter that Courtney wrote me, which was about 2,000 words, and then put punctuation there for me. So anyway, so I started hanging out with Courtney in 2009, and the first time that I hung out with her, she invited me to go to her hotel room at the Mercer Hotel. So I show up at the Mercer Hotel, and
wait, what year is this?
This is 2009.
Okay, 2009.
Mind you, so like in 1995 is when I got Live Through This, which was the like second whole album, and it changed my life. So I walk into her hotel room, and she's got like piles of paper everywhere, very neatly organized, and she's got this big suite, and she's got this handler with her. I guess it was Francis Bean's nanny or something. And they're at a computer, and they're looking at this stuff like about quantum physics. And so, you know, I at the time I didn't know what quantum physics was. So I went over, and we just started watching video after video about quantum physics. 5 minutes later, she's naked, mind you. And she's like trying on clothes. And I'm like, okay, this just happened. Like Courtney Love is now completely naked.
Is it just you two in the room?
No,
and
it's
the nanny?
Me, her, and the Manny. Yeah.
Okay. Manny or nanny?
It was a Manny, a male nanny.
Okay.
Yeah.
That kind of changes the dynamic a little bit since.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. But in any case, that was happening, and I didn't know what to do. And I was like, do you want to put on a dress or something? I was so overwhelmed.
Do you think she was doing it to put on a show for you, or to freak you out, to shock you?
I think it was just like complete like lack of awareness, maybe. Like, I think she was just like in the middle of trying on clothes and then just like forgot. My stomach just growled. To put on the next outfit or something, you know, because she got really caught up in like showing me these quantum physics things. Anyway, so we've
lesson one: when I let go of the dress, it falls to the ground.
Basically,
gravity.
So, so our friendship continued for a couple weeks. For maybe we hung out almost every day for about a month or two.
Wow.
Yeah. And she
was... Do you
was,
feel like you got to know her personally, or do you feel like she was performing for you the whole time?
No, I got to know her pretty well.
Yeah?
Yeah. It was a very interesting relationship. We would watch Nirvana videos together on YouTube.
Why would she would want to do that?
Yeah. She was like just showing me them things that she still missed Kurt a lot, you know? And then she was like showing me... I guess she was working on a movie about Kurt, and we were looking at videos of like guys, like actors that maybe would be able to play him. Anyway.
Whoa, that must be so heavy. Imagine trying to cast your dead husband.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was a little bit heartbreaking. It was a bit heartbreaking, but you know, she was so fucking nice and so sweet and like so hyper intelligent. Like she has like a photographic memory. Like I could tell her something and I didn't think she was paying attention, and she'd be like, so how's your boyfriend, David? You know? And I'm like, whoa, hey, he's okay.
She'd remember stuff you told her.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know, she's like ultra successful and famous, and I've hung out with people that are famous before, and sometimes it's like, yeah, we're hanging out, but you're a little bit above, like there's like not an equal. It's not like hanging out with a friend sometimes. You feel like they're in their own world. It's hard to totally connect.
Yeah, there was there was definitely that a bit.
There was.
I mean, because at the end of the day, I still really had lots of reverence towards her, you know, because she was the reason there's so many aspects of, I think, my personality that I think I adopted from her at a young age, at like when I was a teenager, that applied to how I am now. So when I started hanging out with her, it was, you know, there was that element of like, this was like probably one of the people that I respected the most on this planet, you know, type of thing.
Right.
So I'm sorry. She saw your list and then just said, this is going to be my new friend?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Why do you think that she sees something in you that was that she saw in herself when she was younger?
I don't know. I think
it seems random. I mean, it's great.
I know it's totally random. I think one of her manager at the time maybe told her that he could put us in touch, or I don't know. I'm really not quite sure. I didn't really get to the bottom of it. I almost didn't want to know. I was just so excited, you know.
Was she looking for press, like for you?
No, I think she was just looking
for a journalist, or.
No, I think she was just looking for someone I don't want to say interesting, but someone new to hang out with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she probably just wanted a cool girl to hang out with.
Yeah, yeah.
But do you feel like she wanted to hang out with you, like you can be like, you know, like her accoutrement or something?
I think to some degree she wanted to feel plugged in to like the New York music scene. And
right,
because so
you're younger, more hip, connected.
And I was like really, really deep into the whole New York music scene where like I could walk down like Orchard Street and like know everybody and like know exactly what bands are playing and who managed what bands, who did this, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So I think she wanted to be kind of involved in that. Mm. But in any case, going back to the learning aspects, so she got me really into quantum physics, really, really into quantum physics. And it actually started off with quantum mechanics. That's what we were looking at the computer. But I got really into quantum physics. Suddenly, I was reading so many books about quantum physics. I was like looking at videos. I was watching videos, watching like TED Talks, watching, you know, Harvard Talks, like anything that I could, or sorry, MIT Talks, like anything that I could take in, I was doing. So I could, you know, talk to somebody and have a very intelligent, well thought of conversation with somebody about quantum physics, which is something I should not be able to do. And right now I can't, you know, like I've lost that information.
You forgot it, yeah.
Yeah, because it was so long ago, but at the but that's like how I... That's in my mind how I learn is like by watching videos, by like looking at a computer screen, clicking links, and just like even just looking at a computer screen is a much different way that I absorb information than looking at a book.
You absorb it more when it's on a computer, you think?
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Something about a book makes me fall asleep. I don't know why.
Mm.
But I could read easily on a, like I'll sit there and read
maybe
for
like
hours.
Associate it with being forced to learn in ways you weren't comfortable with growing up?
No, I think a computer screen just is bright.
Yeah, okay.
And it keeps me awake.
It's got those fair rays.
Yeah.
That's why it's ruining a lot of people's sleep because they look at their phone or the screen and then they don't sleep as well.
I sleep about like 4 hours a night.
You do?
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah. What are you doing before bed?
I mean, I'm texting. Oh, God. Okay, so I'm on Raya. I don't know if you guys are familiar with what Raya is.
I just heard about this.
Can I spell that?
R-A-Y-A.
It's a dating app.
Yes.
For celebrities.
Well, people in the entertainment industry.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who qualifies?
I mean...
You have to pay for it.
Yeah, you do pay for it. $10 a month, but you also have to be accepted.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on Raya, and... which is really fun for me.
Is it same as like Tinder or Bumble? You just swipe?
Yeah, you just swipe.
Okay. So and same exact thing, but just for people in the entertainment industry.
Yes, exactly.
So you guys are better than us.
Nope. I don't... My friends are like, how did you get on? So, and then, so I...
You have to be sponsored by Courtney Love.
Yeah. Or at least learn quantum physics from her.
So anyway, so I'm on Raya, and a lot of the guys that are on Raya are in LA.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times, like when I'm chatting with them, it's like 10 o'clock their time, but it's like pretty late my time, or it's like, or they get drunk and it's 1 a.m. their time. And so it's like, you know,
they're like, you up, or you're like, it's 4 a.m.
Like I am now. Okay. Yeah. So I talk to a lot of dudes that way. And then there's like this other guy in England that I'm talking to. And so like, I wake up early so I could chat with him. So it's like, it kind of like the 4 hour block is like, is used up so I can recharge between these like hours of talking to LA and London.
Okay, so wait, why would you bother? Because you don't live in LA or London.
Yeah, I go to LA like once a month for a few days.
And so, okay, so you're chatting with them because you might actually see them.
I have. I mean, there's some guys out there that I met on Raya that...
Are there a lot of people that you recognize?
Yeah, actually.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to name names, but I have an interesting story for
you. Right. All right. Tell us, you'll be the first Raya story.
Yay. So in 2009, I went to go see a comedian, and her opening act was this guy. And I was just like, ugh. oh my God, that guy's so hot. Uh-huh. And this was 2009. So this is like deep in my Courtney love, my ex-boyfriend David days. You know, I was like in love at the time, but I saw this dude and I was like, ooh, want him. We'll call him.
Wait, you were in love with someone else and you saw this other dude on opening?
Opening, and I was like, I like that guy.
Yeah.
I want to touch him. So so then years, like about a year or so later, I was walking down the street and I see this guy walking down the street and I'm like, oh my God, it's that act, it's that comedian. And it wasn't.
Uh-huh.
It was this other guy who it turned out lived in my building, and I was in love at first sight again, and because I fall in love like all the time. And
but you thought he was the comedian.
I thought he was the comedian.
Okay.
So anyway, so me and this guy, like I saw this guy and I was like excited to find out that he lived in my building. I, you know, was completely in love with him. And like a year or two later, he and I started dating, and we dated for about 2.5-3 years.
Mm. While he lived in the same building?
He lived down the hall. And so about a year and a half or 2 years after we started dating, he moved his stuff down from apartment 3F to 3A.
Uh-huh.
And we moved in together, and then we broke up shortly after because I couldn't take it anymore.
And then he lost his apartment in 3F?
Yeah, unfortunately he lost it. Yeah, yeah. So we were extremely compatible until we weren't. And then
until you moved in together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, until I wanted to get married and have kids, and he was like, I didn't sign up for this. And I was like, I don't know, my family wants me to do it. I don't know what I want. I don't even know.
And that's like, what society says I'm supposed to do now.
I'm supposed to do this. So anyway,
it's too bad because it seems like a perfect setup. He lives at the apartment next door to you. Like, that's perfect. You have your own spaces and you live pretty much together.
Yeah, I know. We were stupid, but we wanted to save money. And that was like such a dumb thing for us to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay. So anyway, we broke up in like, I don't know, December 2014, something like that. He ended up moving out in January 2015. But our thing went on, like dragged on for about a year.
Uh-huh. trying to end it?
Like, I was... When I say dragged on, like, I was still hopelessly in love with him.
Right.
Like, and we'd still hang out, like, once a week, twice a week, and, like, I'd try to convince him to sleep with me and, like, whatever. So, I was, like, hopelessly in love, and it was part of why I started doing ayahuasca, because I was like, I need to, like, stop being in love with John. So,
is this connecting to the Raya story?
Yes, it is.
It is. Okay.
Yeah, sorry. Right. I'm sorry. It's a long way. I'm so sorry. Anyway, so we hang out one night and,
you and John,
me and John,
your ex,
my ex.
Yes.
We hang out and it was like the day after David Bowie died. So this is like a
very
couple
recent.
Months. Yeah. Very recent. So, we go out and he tells me, you know, I'm back together with the girl that I started dating after you. Who?
Courtney Love?
No, it was Courtney. It's this other really, really sweet girl who's like just such a nice person. Mm-hmm. Like I've met her. She's like a really nice person and I have like nothing terrible to say about her.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, I'm back together with her. And I was like, oh, well, that sucks for me because she's a nice person and I don't want to like fuck with this. And so I'm going to back off. The next day I woke up in the middle of the night, like hyperventilating, like I'm going to die alone. Oh my God.
Uh-huh, you know? Yeah.
And I like pull out my phone and I go into Raya and I'm like looking at it. And I, the first profile that came up was that comedian.
Wow.
Yeah. And I right swiped it and then he right swiped me back and then we started talking.
And he's like, no, I'm not the comedian. I'm your new neighbor on 3F.
Yeah, basically. And anyway, so he and I started talking and we hit it off amazingly. And like, we had this like little whirlwind romance that kind of just fizzled out, but kind of fizzled out, but, he's like out in LA and,
that's tough to make work because you live in New York.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, and also he's got complications going on in his life. He's a fucking awesome dude though. Mm-hmm. You know, like,
what's his name?
I can't say. I really, but he's like probably one of my favorite people that I've met in a very, very long time.
Favorite people or favorite comedians?
No, I don't know a lot of comedians.
Okay.
And so he's just
do you
like
his comedy?
I do. I love his comedy.
Uh-huh.
He's super
LA
fucking
comedian?
Funny. Yeah. And like,
can you tell one of his jokes?
I can't tell any of his jokes. Like, yeah.
Who was he opening for when you saw him?
I can't say. Don't give it away.
So do you use like regular person pedestrian dating apps and sites, or are you
Matt,
just like,
stop it?
I did. I used, I hate Tinder. I find Tinder to be really awful because like Tinder, you get these like cheesy ass, sorry, I don't
bottom feeding guys.
They're like just terrible.
What are they posing with tigers on hoods of
always,
Corvettes?
No, it's always some dude in Thailand with the fucking drugged up tiger that he's sitting next to.
What is that?
I don't know, but like I would say 90% of the profiles on Tinder are that way.
Uh-huh.
And so, and then it's them with like a girl to show that like what their value is, because that's what you learn on like the pickup artist. And then it's
they pose with an attractive girl, so yeah, their perceived value is higher.
Exactly.
Interesting. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. And then they are always like in some sort of, I mean, not like, I don't care what you do for work, but it's just like, there's no spark in their profiles a lot of the time. There's been a couple, like there's been one or two dudes that I've hooked up with from Tinder, but I mean, it's like been a complete hookup.
What would be a spark in their profile? What would that look like?
Music.
The kind of music they like.
Yeah, music mm-hmm. that they like, and then like something funny. You know, mm-hmm. I don't date comedians, but I do like a funny guy.
Sure.
Yeah.
Why?
Because
you like
I'm
to
Jewish,
laugh.
I like to laugh. I'm like.
Do you like the indoors and the outdoors? Well, it's so funny that Matt and I were talking about this. You see this on profiles, like I like to laugh. I like the indoors and the outdoors. I like to go on hikes. I like to see movies. Like, who the hell doesn't?
What the fuck is a hike?
Yeah, I mean,
it's a walk, right?
It's a walk with trees. And, yeah.
It's a schlep nature. Is what it is.
It's too many subways to get there.
And I'm on Happn as well, which I really liked, actually. Happn was fun. Happn is location-based, so it's like anyone that you've crossed paths with. And I find the guys on there to be interesting a lot of times.
And all of this is sucking up your time, not allowing you to sleep. So you need to get a boyfriend, be in a relationship, and then you'll be able to sleep again.
Basically, yeah.
So when you were in the relationship, did you take yourself off of all these dating apps?
Actually, I got on the dating apps while I was still in the relationship because I'm very curious about humanity and how like people work.
Yeah.
And so I got on all these different dating apps like while I was still in a relationship with John. My neighbor, and so he and I would just like sit on our app. I put him on an app as well because I'm a fucking idiot. And
that's how he met his current girlfriend. No.
He would sit there and like swipe all these dudes for me. Oh, there's like J Swipe too. I forgot that one. I was on J Swipe. That was fun.
That should be your main one.
I DJ'd the J Swipe party last year, and I thought I was gonna like leave with like 100 dudes, and I left with none.
In a case like that, are people actually talking to each other or just seeing someone and then trying to find them on the app and swipe?
I thought that they right would be them. Like trying to find people on the app, but no, they were like chatting with each other. Because like before going, I just right swiped every single person thinking like, okay, so one of these people that is attending this party is going to find me.
Right.
You know?
So you were upset that people were actually talking to each other and not on their phones.
Not
the
on
time.
Their phones being like, oh my God, the DJ's on the fucking app.
Right, right.
You know?
I'll swipe right. Maybe I'll message with her later even though she's right in front of me.
They probably assume that the DJ must be a chick, so there's no way that the DJ could be a Jew.
Yeah, right? I don't know. I think I had like a big Star of David on me shit.
That might have done it then.
That was your Flavor Flav clock?
Yeah.
Big Star David.
I actually like went up to some guy and I was like, hi, my name's Sarah. I'm going to be DJing later. You're really cute. Here's my card. And
wow.
Nothing. He never hit me back up. I was so sad.
Do you think he was
cute.
Intimidated or...
Maybe, I don't know. Like maybe he wasn't into short Jewish girls.
Do you find, because Gary and I talk about this as well, and I'm always trying to figure out the line between being forward and feeling like a creep. So I feel like it's totally fine for a woman to say, hi, you're cute, here's my card. I feel like if I did that to a woman, I would be laughed at.
Yeah, you know, I've done a lot of the approaching in situations. So with my neighbor, the way that he and I finally did meet, which I had been trying to orchestrate for a while, we ran into each other outside having a cigarette. And like, I never smoke, but this situation we did. And I was like just so overwhelmed because I looked like shit. And like, I had no makeup. I was just like really disheveled and blah, blah, blah. But then I like put my phone number on a business card and slid it underneath his door.
Yeah.
Saying like, hey, hit me up if you want to have some fun this weekend.
Yeah. Matt, you can't equate men and women. We're different. We're different. I mean, a woman, Mark Norman has this joke. A woman can come up to him and be like, oh, I want to tie you up and lock you in my bedroom.
Really?
And it'd be super hot. But if a guy says that to a woman, it would be like, whoa, I'm calling the police.
You go to jail, yeah. Yeah, there are those differences. So, yeah. I mean, what is a man to do?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think. I don't think a guy has ever picked me up, successfully at least. Mm-hmm. I don't think.
Do you like to be the one kind of controlling the situation?
I think so. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. When it's in person, definitely.
Like, is it a turnoff if a guy comes up to you and says, hey?
Yeah, I think there's something wrong with them. I'm like, yeah. I'm like,
why? Because they like you?
Yeah. I have like really weird esteem issues. So I like totally think that there's like something wrong with them. If they like come up to me and try to pick me up, I'm like, okay, there's nobody else at this bar for you to like hit on. Like, is that it? Like, do I seem like the lowest swinging fruit that like you can reach?
Or maybe it's because you are a very goal-oriented person. Maybe you like a male, you like the thrill of the chase.
I do like the thrill of the chase. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. My friends always like make fun of me for that.
Yeah.
I get bored very fast.
And then once they're like, oh yeah, you're very attractive, I'm into it, you're just like, nah.
Yeah, no,
you
I know.
Stupid man.
Yeah, that's happened many times before in relationships where a guy's like, I'm really, at, like, you know, I'm in love with you. And I'm like, you're so sweet.
You're like a brother to me.
Yeah. I don't know if this is going to work. But yeah, and like another boy that I dated for a while, the way we met was at a party. And I just like, he had bottle service and I sat down and I like helped myself to a drink. And he's like, you're stealing my drinks. And I just like turned over to him and I just started making out with him. Like, no, sorry, nothing. And he was just like, ugh.
All right, now see, if a guy does that, that's like a sexual molestation.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah, exactly.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. We're different yeah. things going on.
Right. I was also the DJ at the party, so I like had doubled points on that one.
And he went for it, huh?
Yeah, he was super stoked. And then he asked for my phone number. I was like, why?
Our business is done.
Yeah, but then we dated for like 4 months and stuff. He was like going to convert to Judaism and move from Chicago to New York for me. And I was like, we're done.
Yeah, that's a lot of responsibility on your part.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you'd have to take him in, move him into 3A. And
yeah,
then
exactly. Exactly.
So you're on all these apps.
Yeah.
All right. And they each kind of have their own sort of process and feel, right?
Yeah.
There's different kind of men on all these apps.
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously with Raya there's like the entertainment based men, and then with Happn it's like a lot like, because I live downtown, I work in Soho. Mm-hmm. There's like a lot of like creative types on there, and then my ex-boyfriend John, he and I were still like very good friends, and so I'd go to hang out with him in Brooklyn a lot, so there'd be a lot of, and so I'd be swiping from there, and there'd right. be a lot of guys from there. And, you know, and, but then Tinder, I just don't even have on my phone. J swipe, I was just like, that seems too committal. If I find a Jew that I like, I'm forced to marry them. And so, all like, right.
Does J swipe cost money?
I forget.
Because J date does.
Oh, no, J swipe doesn't cost money.
Huh.
Yeah. But they got purchased by J swipe, I think. I mean, by J date. I could be wrong.
Hmm. But I think they got sued.
They got sued and then purchased, I
think. Oh, really? Okay.
Because they weren't allowed to use the J.
Yeah.
J date owned the letter.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah.
Something silly.
That's why the people hate the Jews.
Yeah. How about Bumble? You're on Bumble too?
I was on Bumble.
Yeah.
I went on like one or two dates from Bumble. And
because that seems like up your alley, because you have to make the first move.
Yeah. Mm. But then I was just like, I don't know. I made me feel really insecure for some reason. I don't know why.
So you only like making the first move when it's unexpected.
Yes. There you go. Thank you.
Right.
Yeah, I think I went on like one or two dates on Bumble and I was like, nah, whatever. Mm-hmm. But the dudes are super fucking hot on there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, who's got the best caliber?
Well, Raya, you know, has the best like looking dudes, I think, or caliber. Then Bumble has like super hot dudes as well, and then Happn, and then J Swipe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and Tinder's just bottom feeding at this
point.
So what do you look for in a profile?
Like I said, music. So the thing I like about Raya is everyone's profile has a song on it.
Uh-huh.
So this,
they have to pick one song to represent themselves.
Yeah,
as a whole human.
Yeah, yeah. So mine.
What's your song?
Rubber Ring by the Smiths, but before it was like O Fortuna from Carmina Burana, like that super dramatic song. And then it was also Laid by James at one point, and then another time it was Goodbye Horses.
Okay, this reminds me of something that I read in your Wikipedia.
Okay, good. Let's hear it.
Do you know what I'm going to ask
No.
you?
No.
Okay. In your Wikipedia, it says that you made out with a member of the Smiths.
Someone added it? Someone added it? Yes, I'm so excited.
You made out with a member of the Smiths in while a Smith song was playing.
Yes, I didn't even check my Wikipedia to see if anyone added it.
We're going to play this song, okay? This is the song, right? Now let's go back. Was it Morrissey?
No.
Did you make out with Morrissey while he was singing the song?
I wish.
Who was the, which member of the Smiths was it? Let's set the mood.
Okay.
Where are you? The song is playing.
We're at a club. I forgot the name of the club. It was the last day of the club. I'm putting on, I put on this song. Andy Rourke is setting up for the next set. And I turn around and Mike Joyce is there and he's ready to dance.
Which
and
one is he?
Mike Joyce was the drummer.
The drummer.
Yes.
So these drums are playing. These actual drums.
And we're bouncing around.
Yeah.
And then he grabs my face in pure excitement and just starts making out with me.
Not, no hello.
No hello.
Just pounding those drums.
Boom.
Straight forward.
Forward, grabs my face. My poor older brother Lawrence is about 5 or 6 feet away watching all this go down. And he's like super overprotective and sees it. And is just like, I think his, he dropped his drink.
Does hearing this song put you in that moment?
I mean, I've made out with so many boys to this song.
Does hearing this song just get you wet?
I mean, yes.
The chair is dripping right now.
But I could say, like, it wasn't like that. It was more of a, I was so
No,
thrilled.
What happened?
No. It was one of those things where it's like so unexpected and I suddenly understood what it was like to be a boy when I approached them and start making out, where it's like, this is unexpected. It's not awful, but it's not like what I was planning on doing tonight. And also my brother was like staring at us and was just like wanting to kill Mike Joyce. And so... what happened? So then
you're all flustered from that song. Whoa.
I know. So I like push him off, and I can't believe someone updated my Wikipedia. I'm gonna cry. It's so happy.
Oh, just admit it was you.
No, I can't. I don't even know who did it. So I push him off, and I was like, Mike, it's so nice to meet you, and whatever. So then I'm like trying to pack up, and then Andy Rourke starts playing this song, and I'm like another song, and I'm like dancing and bopping around, and then Mike grabs me again. Goes in to kiss me, but I'm just like, I'm not really feeling this. Like, I don't really like the way he kisses or something. I can't remember. I was like, whatever. I start walking backwards and I trip over a step. I go like, start falling backwards. I grab him for like dear life. So I would stop falling. But instead I like, he falls right on top of me.
And he's so, like, whoa, she wants it.
Yeah, totally. And like everything goes black because I hit my head on a step.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I'm like, fuck, come to. And like Mike Joyce is like on fucking top of me. And I'm like, dude. And he's like, I just wanted to give you a kiss. He's like, I'm like,
but you're bleeding out of the back of your head.
Yeah. And I'm like, you gave me a concussion instead. And that was it. And then I packed up and my brother's like, do I punch him? Like, he's one of my childhood heroes. Do I punch him? I'm like, no, just leave it. Leave
you
it.
You were almost a girlfriend in a coma.
Holy shit.
Oh, is that a Smith song?
That's so good.
Smith's callback. Mm-hmm. Matt gets a bonus point. He should be on Raya just for
right
that
swipe.
Joke.
Yeah, does that get me on Raya now?
I just right swiped you.
There you go, Matt.
Yeah. So, yeah, that. So, of the dating apps, it's definitely Raya is my favorite. And, like, yeah. So, I have a Smith song on there, and I'm like wearing a Smith's t shirt in one of my photos, and that's definitely like brought a bit of attention, which I didn't expect.
Yeah.
You know, there's like a ton of fucking gorgeous models and actresses on there and stuff like that.
On Raya?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you see women and men as you're swiping?
Well, no, I have my preferences. I'm straight, so I have my preferences set for men.
Not a little bi?
No, I mean, like, I think that I appreciate women. I, like, have made out with a few when I was younger.
You're about to say a lot.
Well, I made out a lot with a few.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But I hate vaginas. Mm-hmm. I think boobs are pretty. I've never really touched anyone's other than my own. Mm-hmm. But I have a hard time with my gender identity too. So it's like a weird thing. But
because of your personality?
Yeah, like I don't think of myself as a girl necessarily. Mm. I think of myself as like a girl boy, like sort of thing. It's weird. I don't know. Like because I think when people think of girls, like, yeah, maybe my personality is just not very feminine. And my mom's always kind of struggled with the fact that I'm not a very feminine girl. I don't care about a lot of stuff.
Well, what does femininity mean?
Well, I mean, I guess like I'm not delicate. I'm like very, I'm very abrasive. I'm very like forceful. I like to make the first move. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you know.
But this sounds like stuff that maybe your mom has just made you think, because you, until you said that, you come off completely like a girl.
I'm like a Jew in disguise. You know, in the same way I'm a girl in disguise.
Yeah, no, you're both. You're completely very much both. Yeah. I mean, I think that it sounds like this is your mom's issue, not yours.
Well, also,
don't tell her what's going on with her life.
No, I mean, I think also like a lot of friends, like a lot of people will say, no, you're like one of the guys.
Right.
Because when it comes to my like sensibility, I'm just like, I don't think like a girl, or how people maybe perceive girls to think. Because I'm fucking batshit as well. But I don't know, like growing up, I had no boobs. I had no figure. So I was always like the little brother type. I was always hanging around with boys who didn't see me as a girl.
Well, I think the definition of a woman and femininity is constantly changing.
Yeah, for sure. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, once women started to be granted an education and stuff, like, yeah, things are going to change in our culture.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely like, when it comes to sexuality, I'm very forward, which is like a very, like, it's not a typical girl thing, I guess.
I mean, it's interesting that you came in on the same day as Christina Hutchinson, because, you know, their podcast and, you know, the show Girls, like, the culture is constantly changing. And
It is.
That's one of the things that's changing. And Bumble, I mean, who would ever thought there'd be an app where a woman had to make the first move?
I mean, it seems like it's an app made for me, but I like to make the first move in person, so maybe not. So
when it's not expected.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
But yeah, and also like I've postponed the idea of like having a kid is like becoming more and more like scary to me. And mm-hmm. it's like the idea of marriage, like I don't want to have a big wedding. I mean, guys want those things too, but I don't know. I think a lot of like
all these like old school standard tropes of being a woman.
Yeah. Yeah. And just like the fact that I didn't grow boobs or hips or anything until like I was probably about 21, mm-hmm. 20 was part of it too. Like I just didn't look like a woman.
You blossomed a little late, relatively. Yeah,
super late. Like I didn't get my period till I was like 16, you know?
Yeah.
So it was that part of thing, you know, like, and I didn't get boobs until I was 18. Mm-hmm. I was like, what the fuck are those?
They'll probably last longer.
Yeah, right? I mean, they look fucking great. So yeah,
they started later. You'll have them looking good later.
Yeah. For a person my age, they look pretty good. So
they're holding in there.
Yeah, they're holding up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did Courtney Love's look?
They look great, but she had boob jobs. So, you know. Right.
She did, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess I've seen her. She was topless in
Larry Flint
too, right?
Yeah. I think she had a boob job since then. Mm. They're pretty fucking good. Oh, and she had a sick body. Her body was dope. So good.
But she had fine breasts.
Yeah, I think she just wanted to...
like firm them up?
Yeah, firm them up and lift them up. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not against the whole lift. I think a lift is good too.
Right, a lift is different than like silicone implants.
Yeah, exactly. Like a lift just like... Bloop.
It's like a facelift for the chest.
Yeah, I think I would do that. I think I would get a lift when I'm 40 or something. Yeah.
Back over your shoulders.
Yeah.
I got it. All right.
Yeah,
I wasn't aware that was an option.
Yeah.
Now you know you can get a lift.
I'm going to get it for myself. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I've seen some guys like really like 80-year-old men in spas where they're naked and their ball sack drips down to the floor.
Ugh.
It's like real. Ugh. Yeah, it's really scary. Maybe they can get a ball sack lift. I don't know. Is that can you get that? Can
I guys hope
get
so. That?
Me too.
Seems unnecessary. I don't know. That seems like a joy of old age. That you just your nuts like, you know, brushing the floor.
They were like 3 feet off the ground. Sounds just like
great. Oof. I can't wait.
I decided I wanted to start dating younger men. And so like now you just like solidified that for me.
Why do you want to start dating younger men?
Because older men are fucking damaged.
Damaged by old relationships?
Yeah, like all the relationships through their life, they get damaged, you know? And it's like they've already decided what kind of person they want to be. I want to form a person.
You want to form them. Yeah. You want to work. You want to. You want to like a little canvas that you could paint and make your own. Yeah,
I want Play-Doh. You know, like I have this girlfriend of mine. She's dating this guy 13 years younger than her, maybe 15 years younger than her, and I'm like, oh, yo, maybe you're a genius. She's like, maybe.
But what about the immaturity?
I mean, there's a lot of men that are mature. So when I was about when I was younger, I was dating a lot of older men, and like. You know, the oldest guy, I think, was maybe 15 years older than me or something like that.
Mm-hmm. How old were you when you dated someone 15 years older?
27.
Okay. So he was, let's do the math, 42?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Or something like that. I can't remember. Maybe he was 40 when I was 27 or 28. No, mm-hmm. I was 28. He was 40.
Okay. So different times of life, different phases.
Yeah.
How was that? Was it difficult?
I mean, it was difficult because he was so fucking damaged. So by that point, but he... Yeah, so he like grew up in the 60s and he grew up in the 70s, and like he also grew up in like Baltimore as like a black guy who passed as white, and like he grew up where like The Wire takes place.
Right.
And
so he had all those other issues, cultural stuff, not just relationship damage.
Yeah. Abandoned by his Jewish mother when he was 2 years old and raised.
Even if you didn't tell me this guy's age, I'd be like, woof, what a mess.
Yeah. Yeah. So he had already had like this cultural problem, and like, I mean, God bless him. He's one of my best friends, and like, he's my emergency contact after my brother. So love you, David. He had his damages.
Yeah.
And then like I've subsequently dated like guys of all different ages, but then like I find like the older they are, the more relationships have fucked them over, and also just like the more women they've slept with, so which is not a problem. I have no problem if you've like banged 1,000 women. Mm-hmm. However, it's like it becomes a drug in a way where they want to continue having all these different people and they're like all these different experiences, and nothing ever is satisfying.
Yeah.
This is all suddenly I'm like doing the Christina like Hutchinson podcast.
Well, what can you describe to us what a damaged older man looks like? Like, how does that get exemplified?
They don't want to get married or have kids, and they constantly think there's something else out there. And so, and so there's always one foot out the door. Everybody that I've dated has always had, with very few exceptions, have always had one foot out the door.
Now, is this mainly in New York? Because I feel like that
it might be a New York thing.
Yeah, I think it's a New York thing because there's just so much here.
Yeah, I mean, there is a lot. I mean, in all fairness, I've definitely had one foot out the door the whole time.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
But yeah, also, I mean, New York, there's so many people with that and all the different apps, and it seems like there's a new app every day. It hardly makes sense to choose one person because...
Yeah, yeah. You know. There's an option out the window. Like, definitely downloading the apps when I was with my ex-boyfriend, John, was probably not helpful.
Right, because then he's like, whoa, look at all these other beautiful women.
And I was like, look at all these beautiful men.
Right, yeah.
You know? Like other people in this room, besides this room, like the Smiths too. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like I can date outside of this relationship.
Well, also like if you're in a small town and there's just less options, I kind of think people are happier with the less options.
Mm. Yeah. Definitely, like, my boyfriend that lived in the Midwest was, like, totally down to, like, just get married and have kids, which scared me away as well. So
you want something, but then it sounds like when it happens, you don't want
I think
it.
He just wasn't the right person, too, though. Mm-hmm. You know, he wasn't funny enough. But, yeah, so I think the relationships that I had when I was younger, the guys wanted to have, like... They wanted to get married and have kids when I was younger. Like that was when I was like in my mid to early 20s, because they still idealized what life would be like. They hadn't experienced their whole life. Like they hadn't experienced 35, 40 years being single-ish.
Right.
You know? And so they didn't know that they could just perpetuate that over and over and over again and like relive that cycle and like get that high all the time.
Is it a high or is it just life experience?
It's a high end life experience. Like, mm-hmm. I get a fucking high every time I go, and like, I've been on like short term boyfriend zone for the past year. So,
yeah. Mm. What's been your longest with John? 3 years.
John was 2.5, but that was a lot of off and on because I was going through a lot.
I think New York is a hard place to keep a relationship. Yeah.
Brandon, my first boyfriend, was the longest. He mm-hmm. was 2.5 solid years.
Was that here in New York?
Yeah. And we started dating when I was about, we were both about 24, 25. Mm-hmm. We eventually broke up because at one point he called me. He was a musician and he was on tour, and he called me from tour and he goes, "What's our deal?" And I said, "What do you mean, what's our deal?" And
the fact that you're asking tells us the deal.
And I said, "Well, I don't know what you mean." He's like, "Are we ever going to get married?" And I was like, "No, we're not."
Oh.
Yeah. And he said, "Why not?" I'm like, "Well, you're not Jewish. And also, like, I just don't think that you're the one that I'm going to marry." And he said, "Then why are we together?" And I said, "Well, we're having a great time. I figured we'll stay together for another 5 years and then figure it out from there."
Wow.
Yeah.
That's very mature.
Yeah. But that he was like, "Well, I don't want to be in this relationship then if it's not going to go anywhere." Mm-hmm. So, and then I was like, okay. He got back from tour.
Was his penis circumcised?
Yeah. No, it was totally cut. It's
very important.
But, at the time, marrying a Jew was very important to me. Now it's become more important to my family than it is
well,
to
if
me.
Well, if his penis was circumcised, couldn't he just convert?
Yeah. I mean, he
no
could.
No one would ever know.
The last name was Riley, so.
Oh, that's got to go.
Yeah. Reichman could be the new name. But, but also just like it wasn't the right match, like there was something wrong that like I adored the fuck out of him, mm-hmm. like he was such a sweetheart. And then I was like, let's have an open relationship and figure out what we want to do from there.
Right.
And so we did. And then he met someone else and now they're married and they have two beautiful children. And I fucking love his wife. I think she's incredible. And the three of us text each other all the time.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And I send gifts to their kids.
Well, there's something true to what you said about molding someone. Mm. Why you think you're into younger guys now.
Yeah.
I think when people get together that young, it sometimes works because they mold each other.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
And yeah. They form into the perfect union.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah, like this girl I work with, she and her boyfriend have been together since high school, and they're just like so happy. They're like one unit, the two of them.
I mean, it can go either way. Either they're like totally codependent,
yeah,
and hard, like no individuality,
yeah,
or they've like learned to figure it out together.
Well, I'm a unique case then because I'm a complete individual who's completely codependent.
Who get codependent in a relationship?
In a relationship, I become super codependent.
How so? Like you just want, you need their attention all the time?
All the fucking time. All the time.
But you don't seem insecure.
I'm completely insecure and I need a lot of attention.
Really?
Yeah.
You get insecure?
Oh my God. I'm like insecure right now. I need your attention. I need your like approval.
We're here for you. You are our guest.
Thank you.
But is it a jealousy thing?
No, it's not jealous. Well, I mean, like I get jealous if they're paying attention to a wall instead of me,
So when I talk to Matt, it like really infuriates
no,
you?
No, I'm
kidding. Let's make her mad, Matt. Yeah, right. What do you think about today's guest so far?
I think she's getting jealous every second I look at you.
You're touching me. No, No, I just like, I get really like, I'm super fucking insecure and I get really needy and like, I need a lot of attention. And that's part of like why I'm like on all these different apps talking to all these dudes. Like,
it sounds like a drug for you.
Oh, it's 100% a drug.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like constantly.
And you enter a new relationship and this comes out immediately. Do guys sometimes be like,
oh,
whoa,
they get the
slow down,
freak
woman.
The fuck out. Okay. Yeah. Like, oh, I have other things going on in my life. And I'm like, I will be your life. Like today I was talking to that British guy and I was like, where are you? Why aren't you responding to me? And he's like, I'm really busy. And I'm like, no, I really need you to talk to me, right?
Like, so you're demanding and insecure.
Yeah.
He might not be circumcised.
No, he is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is he Jewish?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So he works out, accepted by the family.
Yeah. I think he's circumcised. I don't know. I haven't seen it. Actually.
I think men are freaked out, not by your neediness, but like if I date someone that's was texting me a lot, and
yeah,
I'm just like, all right, this person could go crazy on me.
Yeah, no, I know. It's totally nuts. So thankfully, that's why I date multiple people at once now. I've mm-hmm. learned. So,
have you gone, quote, unquote, crazy on a guy?
Oh, like, yeah, just totally. Out? Yeah. Oh, poor David Matthews. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Poor Wait, John
Dave,
Cohen.
Dave
poor
Matthews?
Brian. Not that Dave Matthews. Oh, poor Brandon Riley. Poor every dude that I've ever dated. Like,
well, what does it look like? I mean, you don't, like, stalk them at their apartment.
I don't know, maybe.
Really?
Well, okay, so
show up at their gigs on or something.
No, I don't do that. Uh-huh. But I do. I don't think so. One time someone accused someone of sending a spy and I was like, oh, I don't have time to send a spy.
You're like, I would just do it myself.
Exactly. I'm like, I'm good enough to do it by myself. No, but like there's been times where I've just, you know, emailed the girl that the guys left me for, cheated on me with, or like, you know, I've done crazy girlfriend things, totally mm-hmm. fucking crazy girlfriend things. I've, you know, I'm working on my insecurity. I'm working on my desire for love and attention. That's part of why I do ayahuasca now mm-hmm. is like to kind of like find what is missing and figure it out and like stop getting like the need for attention. But I'm getting trained, you know, like I feel like I'm like, if I let a person know right off the bat, like, listen, I require a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. I'm very needy, or it's not necessarily that I'm needy, but I'm like, I need attention and I'm super insecure. So if you know that right off the bat and you're willing to play along, like just know to put me in my place.
Have you gotten to a place in a relationship where you felt totally solid and secure?
Yeah, and then I was bored.
Mm.
Yeah. So whenever I feel solid and secure, it's when I'm bored and I want to get out.
You never got to that place of just ease?
I did, yeah. When I was with like John, my ex, I was just like the neighbor. There was times where he and I would just be like, yeah, this is good. This is good. Like, uh-huh. We're good. And then I would be like, hold up. I don't understand what this is. Like, because my parents had they're still together. God, ugh, I don't know why. But they fought every day of my life.
Right.
So in my mind, there needs to be a fight every single day.
There is some sort of truth to that. I do think a relationship can't get too comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Like if everything is just all nicey-nice,
yeah,
everything goes flaccid.
Yeah.
The whole thing loses its everything. I mean, there has to
There's
be
a specific word to use, but
yeah, like yeah. Everything just goes bleh. Yeah, I mean, it's got to be like some sort of, I'm going to say conflict or some yeah. sort of spark, some sort of friction.
Or there has to be
a friction
project
that lights the fire. Yeah, or projects.
You know, like, mm-hmm. I think that's why people have kids. It's like it becomes their new project. Mm-hmm. And so like that right. is like what the fire, and that's the excitement.
And that's friction. You
yeah.
know, it's like a stimulus. That's, yeah. Yeah.
And the relationship that I had with John, we didn't have that when we were at our best. You know, we didn't have a kid. We didn't have like a project we were working on together necessarily. Like we were just whatever. And it got to the point where like, you know, I didn't mind if he pooped with the door open, you know,
uh-huh.
like, all right.
Well, isn't that kind of the beginning of the end though?
Yeah. Yeah.
It seems easy enough to close the door.
I mean, there'd be times where I was in the shower and he'd be like, I need to use the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And just like, while I'm in the shower, I'm like, hey, great.
Does that kind of kill the sexuality, the sexiness of it?
It actually didn't, which is weird. Mm-hmm. But at the time, like, also, like, I was just like so in love with him, I didn't care. I was just like, we're experiencing our life together.
Yeah,
you know. But then looking back at it, I'm like, well, maybe that was a sign of the end.
Right, because it is kind of like a roommate bro thing to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So you're working on this.
I am working on it. I'm working really hard on it, trying to like reel myself in. Mm-hmm. And like, now that the spring is coming and the you know, the seasons are coming, I'm able to focus on other
things. You know what is true?
What?
We're older now.
Yeah, but I don't get better.
But no, we change.
Yeah, we do. We're change. Different. We do develop. We change. I'm working on it. At some point, it'll have to come to pass. But like, you know, if I date younger guys, maybe they'll just think that this is how women are.
Oh, God.
You're ruining it for them.
I really hope that like all the dudes I date and am dating, like, I want them to hear this because I want them to feel like, oh, she gave me a shout out. But at the same time, I don't want them. I want them to like, you're all special. I just want to let you all know that
you're all special. You just set feminism back a whole decade at least. That's it. All these men are going to be like, whoa, what's the deal with women?
Sorry, girls, ladies, women. Sorry.
So you're working on this by
going to do ayahuasca.
Doing the ayahuasca ceremonies?
Yes.
So are you going in with that intention? Like, this is what I want to work on?
Well, initially, the first thing I wanted to work on was getting over John. Like, that was the first thing I wanted to do. And that worked. And mm-hmm. It was great.
Do you consider ayahuasca a drug?
I consider it a medicine.
Okay.
Yes. And so, because the effects on me have been way better than any medicine I've taken. So I do consider it medicine.
How about a drug? Has it been better than
a
drug?
I think a drug kind of makes me lazy. Uh-huh. Adderall made me super like wired.
What? Yeah.
You know, which is effective, mm-hmm. but people call Adderall a medicine, you know?
Right. If you have it's basically an upper.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Cocaine is a drug.
Yeah.
But has the same effect.
Mm-hmm.
Pot is a drug, but mm-hmm. has a very similar effect to some as antidepressants.
Is the difference between just a drug and a medicine, whether it's legal?
I think so. But, you know, I approach ayahuasca as a medicine because that's how I was introduced to it.
Right.
Was as a medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's a process. So the first thing I wanted to take care of was my, the idea that I needed to stop being in love with my ex-boyfriend, John. I needed to like let go and move on. And that fucking worked like gangbusters.
The ayahuasca works for that.
Unreal.
How so? Do you purge something?
So one of the things that happened was, the initial time when I went through the tunnel by the machine elves, they brought me into this room and they put my head down on this pillow. Like, this is all in my head. And I'm like, oh my God, this is like the most comfortable I've ever felt in my life. Like, this is heaven. I was so happy. And I was like, oh, I want someone here with me. And they're like, you can have anybody you want in the world here with you. Anybody, you know, dead or alive. And I was like, wow. I want John. And they're like,
Lennon?
No, my ex-boyfriend.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would have loved John Lennon personally.
Although I am wearing a John Lennon t-shirt. Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, oh, I want John. And like, you can't have him. He's not here. And I'm like, but that's who I want. They're like, nope, you can't have him. And so it became like this long struggle with me and the machine elves trying to like convince them to let me have John. And they're like, we're going to erase his memory from your brain. We're going to erase his face. Try to imagine him. And I couldn't. And
this is all in the hallucination.
Yeah. And then I saw like a Connect Four game in front of me. And they're like, here are all your memories. And then, you know, with Connect Four, you hit the slide at the bottom and all the pieces come out. And they're like, this is what happened. And like, we're going to get rid of all the memories. And so they hit the thing at the bottom and all the memories came out. And I like cried hysterically and was just like, no, please let me keep them. Like, please. Like, I was like begging. And then I went through some other things, including like my father, who's still alive, had like a cardiac arrest and aneurysm. And I was in the room when it happened. And so I experienced his death. His like, you know, he got resuscitated, but I experienced his death. Then I experienced the birth of my nephew as my nephew, who was named after my father. It was all fucking crazy.
Wow. But it felt
super intense.
Did you know at the time that you were having an hallucination?
Yeah, 100%.
You did. Okay. It wasn't real.
It felt real.
Okay.
Can I tell you, dying felt like the biggest relief on earth. The moment that I died as my father, I was like, oh my God, I no longer have to disappoint anybody ever again. And it felt so fucking good. And then this, like in a blink of an eye, I was my nephew being born. And the first thought in my mind was, what the fuck? I didn't sign up for this. I was back again? Yeah, like I have to disappoint these motherfuckers again? Shit. So I was so bummed.
It is interesting that those are both males.
It's all male energy. Mm-hmm. So I got rid of John that way. You know, like I purged him completely from my mind, and like we hung out and like had a really nice time. And like ever since we've hung out a bunch of times, and like he can tell that I'm no longer trying to hold on, and I can tell that I'm no longer trying to hold on. And when we hang out, it feels like completely natural. It feels great. Then when I went back for another time, it was, I got to see myself through the eyes of other people, and it was like a really great and wonderful experience. And it was, I got to see myself through my parents' eyes, and I got to see myself through like the eyes of friends and, you know, people that I know. And that felt really good. It like was a real good, it gave me a new perspective on who I was. I had, it gave me esteem that I didn't have before.
This is similar to other ayahuasca stories I've heard. It's it's like something is purging and releasing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just being sorted out.
Yeah. It's been awesome. I mean, and so basically like my challenge with going into ayahuasca the next time that I go is to let go of the desire for attention and like the need for love, and to know that I am loved. I love myself, and like that's first and foremost, is to love myself. And then secondly, to understand that someone could still love me even if they're not paying attention to me. Mm-hmm. Having a very, very overbearing mother made it really hard to know that.
Yeah, that's the recipe for a performer. You have a over-loving mother and a father you can never please. So you have the confidence to get on stage, and you also have the desire to get the approval of the audience because you never got it from your father.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's classic.
Yeah, super classic. Oh, classic Sarah.
That's why you're a public figure.
That's why I like make myself public.
You need the adoration.
Yeah, yeah. I think my pinned tweet right now is, I just want you to love me or something like that.
But everyone wants to be loved.
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
Not everyone has the courage to voice it like you do.
I suppose. Yeah. I think that's part of it. You just got to face your fears or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyway, have you guys ever done ayahuasca?
No.
No?
No, I'm definitely getting curious though.
I mean, if you guys want to go, we should go together like in April or something.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
My guy's in Greenpoint. It's like real,
I will almost probably definitely take you up on that.
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
That's how I met Mike Kaplan, who is like so fucking friendly, you know, so sweet.
Yeah.
And he's like a shot of espresso, you know?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Certainly is. Do you know Kevin Allison as well?
No.
Okay. He's done the podcast. He's did it as well.
Same spot.
Yeah.
Why haven't you guys done it yet?
I mean, it's mostly, I just heard about it recently over the last few months doing the podcast. You're a third guest that has talked about it. So it's just brand new to me. So I've been, learning about it.
Yeah.
I think my biggest concern, and I don't remember, I think I asked Mike this question, is like, my worry would be, you're having this beautiful spiritual awakening, let's say, and going through stuff, but you're also around others that you may or may not like. And I'm worried that I'll be distracted too much by people I'm around that I don't like.
Everyone's in their mind though at the time. Like the only person typically that you experience in the room is the shaman.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise,
if you don't like the shaman,
I mean, then you don't go to that shaman anymore. Yeah.
You kind of have to release judgments.
Yeah.
You can't go in judging.
I guess I would try, but I'm the kind of person who can be like, everything's great, but there's this one jerk on a train or in a movie theater that's ruining it for me. And instead of me just being like, forget about that guy, I'm so distracted by that.
You can't not feel it.
Yeah.
Like if you take the ayahuasca, like there's nothing, like there's no opportunity for you to be like, I don't like the person sitting next to me. It just doesn't exist because there's like, you are so fucked beyond belief.
It sounds like ecstasy. Like you take ecstasy and you're going to have a good time.
Right.
I've had terrible times on ecstasy. I hate ecstasy.
Really?
Yeah. Hey, oh God. Because it always makes me feel like shit the next day.
Well, yeah, the next day. But and like while you're on it, it's like, oh, I'm happy. But you're cashing in all your happy chips from the next day.
Yeah, for the next 4 months.
Yeah. That's the it's a rough hangover.
Yeah. I like shrooms, but so, I mean, I think with ayahuasca, it's like, if you're, it's like almost like getting pushed off the ledge of a building. Like if you get pushed off a ledge, no matter how much you flap your wings, your arms, you're not going to fly away. You're going to fall. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's how ayahuasca is. Like no matter how much you think you're going to like flap your wings or be distracted by somebody else in the room, it's not going to happen. You're just going to fall.
Right. All those feelings you're feeling about other people in the room, they might just turn to love and acceptance.
Ugh.
Gross.
You've done acid before. You know how it is, you know?
That's a tricky one.
When was the last time you did acid?
Probably the last time I did mushrooms was maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago. Acid or whatever was being called acid 10 years ago.
Right.
I don't know.
I've never done acid before.
Yeah.
What was like the craziest thing you saw?
I mean, I've had like outer body experiences or like not know who I am or be just completely confused and, you know.
Yeah.
The craziest thing I saw was a friend of mine, a mutual friend of Gary and ours, that this was in our freshman year of college. He just totally was disassociated from everything. He didn't understand anything or know anything for a couple of hours. And I was crazy watching him go through that.
Oh, I got that way on mushrooms. I couldn't speak. I was
But he didn't even, he would like ask questions. He's like, is there a such thing as sleep?
Yeah.
And oh, like that must first, have freaked you out, right?
Yeah, I was like, you're fucking around, right? And he's like, what? You know, and then I realized like he was being serious. And I was like, yeah, this is such thing as sleep. It's like, I think I'm going to sleep now. I'm like, you're not going to be able to, but good luck. And it was just things like that where he just was, didn't know anything in the world.
Right.
And then at some point, he just snapped out of it.
I mean, I think with like ayahuasca, the thing is like you are not to interact with other people. Mm. So there wouldn't be that thing where you're like, what the fuck is sleep? Because I had a very disassociative experience the last time I did it, which was 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And I was like, who am I? I don't know who I am. I thought I was a guy sitting next to me. I heard him say his name and I was like, my name's Tyler. Is it Tyler? What is my name? Like, I had no idea. It wasn't the most positive experience. It was just an experience. But I'm really happy I didn't have to communicate with any other person.
And if, I mean, you're not supposed to, but let's say, you know, you're sitting there and you start to, does the shaman be like, shh, shh.
He'll come up to you and be like coach you out of talking.
The best thing to do is just stay in your own world.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
That you're going to get the most out of it.
You're not, there's no way for you to talk to anybody else, really. Yeah. Except for the shaman or helper.
Because you can't speak languages?
Basically.
Just,
I mean, it's just like, it doesn't even exist.
Right. You're just completely in your own hallucination.
Exactly.
Is there sort of like a come down, or is it just like you snap right out of it? Like,
there's a come down.
Yeah. So at that point, you can talk to each other and just kind of enjoy the bits of the high still.
Which is how I met Mike, was like, during the come down times, like, so basically the shaman like comes over and like blows frankincense on you or some shit like that. Like he does some sort of sealing ceremony to each person and then sings one more song. And he's like, all right, that concludes our ceremony. We will bring out fruits and water and tea if you want. And so then everyone gets together in the center of the room and they start eating fruits and whatever. And they come down from the experience.
How long did the whole thing last?
So you go in at 8:30. Typically it doesn't start until about 9:30, and then it ends at around, like, I will stay till 5, but people leave it around 1 or 2.
Okay.
Yeah.
So less than mushrooms.
And that's at night you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Why can't you do it during the day? It needs to be dark.
I don't know. I think people like to do it during at night. I don't know. I have no idea. But I like to stay as late as possible. I'm like typically one of the last people to go just because like there's all this free food in the middle of the room. Why wouldn't I stay and eat it?
Plus easing yourself back, like having to walk out into the cold city must be kind of harsh.
Yeah, because I started doing it in December and so it's still been fairly cold since I've been doing it. Yeah. The first time I did it, I'm not going to name names, but the first time I did it, I walked into this loft in the Lower East Side. Opened the door and there was the guitarist of one of my favorite bands sitting there ready to go. And I was like, fuck.
It's going to ruin your experience. But,
well, yeah, I mean, it didn't work on me the first time. It had nothing to do with him.
He was playing a Smith song.
It had nothing to do with him, but I was just like, oh, hey, I love you, but I can't find myself puking next to you. I'm sorry. And he's like, dude, I don't worry about it. I'm like, okay.
He's like, I'm a rock star. People have always puked on me.
People puke on me.
Yeah, yeah. So.
Well, I'm glad you're working on this. It sounds like you know your issues and you're working on them.
Yeah, I know my issues.
I feel like we need to do a part two now to see where this goes.
Yeah, yeah. See how you are.
We should do like a part two after we all go do ayahuasca together.
All right. Yes.
We'll just bring the mics.
Podcast outing.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Sounds fun. All right. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. It's been so much fun. I feel like it was a therapy session.
That's the best.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.